This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
Well, good morning, everybody, and thank you so much for joining us here in bunker number 7 for your Sunday morning call to worship. We're so grateful for Voice Broadcasting out of Texas, Jeff and his team, to enable us to do this, and for you and me and we to share together God's Word. It's a beautiful day up here in New Jersey, and I hope everybody who's listening from up and down the East Coast, I hope you're having a beautiful day too. It is a beautiful day because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice, and I hope we can do that this morning as we look into God's Word in a sermon that I've titled, What Me Worry? Now, if you're as old as I am, you will remember that there was a magazine called Med Magazine. And this was the saying of Alfred E. Newman, What Me Worry? But another title for this sermon is, Worry is Foolish, Futile, and Forbidden. Now, some people have heard this sermon. Last time I think I preached it was December in 2017. But I just feel the Lord wanted me to share this with you today. Now, what's next Sunday? I don't know. I haven't heard from the boss yet. But as soon as I do, I'll let you know what next Sunday is. Let's begin, and I pray this is for you today, okay? So let me begin with what I said, and I'm going to ask you to repeat it, so listen real good, right? Not the whole sermon, just this one line. Here's the line. Worry is foolish, futile, which means useless, and forbidden. I'll say it one more time and then ask you to repeat it with me. Worry is foolish, futile, forbidden. Are you ready? Worry is foolish, futile, forbidden. The word worry is derived from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. Someone said worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it won't get you anywhere. Worry can get you some things you may not want. Well, stress and worry break us down. They are the unseen sources of headaches, back aches, and belly aches. Stress and worry produce everything from obscenity to obesity, from impatience to impotence. They give us knotted stomachs, sleepless nights, high blood pressure, low morale. They make our temper short, our nights long. They cause indigestion, chest pain, muscle strain. My uncle, Dr. Louis D'Amato, is no longer with us. He used to say, you don't get stomach ulcers from what you eat. You get ulcers from what eats you. Should you be concerned about some things? Yes, of course. Some things are a source of concern. But worry, anxiety, stress in the extreme, absolutely no. So here's a cute little story I told a while back when the last time I preached this sermon to my congregation, and maybe you forgot it, maybe you'll remember it as I go along. A guy says, I have a mountain of credit card debt. Another, and his friend said, I have a mountain card of debt, man tells another. I've lost my job, my car is being repossessed, and our house is in foreclosure, but I'm not worried about it. Not worried about it, screamed his friend. No, the guy says, I've hired a professional worrier. He does all my worrying for me, and that's why I don't think about it. That's fantastic. What do you have to pay a professional worrier? $50,000 a year. $50,000 a year with all your financial problems? Where are you going to get that kind of money? The guy says, I don't know. That's his worry. So let's begin our lesson to put worry and anxiety into biblical perspective, all right? So number one, as I said, worry is foolish. So worry is the thin stream of fear trickling through your mind. If you encourage it, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Think about that. So let's open our Bibles to John chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 6. And there'll be a key verse there. So here we go. John 14, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe ye, remember, is plural. So when he says ye, he means everybody. You believe in God, believe also in me. in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where you go, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let no man comes unto the Father but by me. So that key verse there, verse 1, John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So Jesus is basically saying, your problems are in control of Almighty God. Nothing comes your way without first passing through the loving hands of Jesus. In Egypt, Moses had everything the world could offer. Yet he gave it all up to follow God and schlep a bunch of disobedient people through the desert for 40 years. You want to talk about stress and worry? And boy, did those people worry. So here's five examples. We read in Exodus 13, they worried, how will we find our way through the desert? So God provided a cloud by day, the Bible says, and a pillar of fire by night. I think of that as the first GPS. In Exodus 14, with the Pharaoh's army behind them and the Red Sea in front of them, they worried, how will we cross this Red Sea? What happens? God parts the water and they walk on dry land. You saw the movie? You saw them walking? There are skeptics and scholars who don't believe in this biblical account. They say it was no miracle. What they speculate is the Jewish people simply went down the river to a place where the water was only 2.5 inches deep, and they crossed over that. Well, if that's true, in my opinion, that's an even bigger miracle, because God drowned the entire Egyptian army in 2 inches of water. Thirdly, in Exodus 15 and 17, the Jewish people worried, how will we get water in the desert? At a place called Marah, God turned bitter water into sweet so they could drink. At a place called Horeb, Moses strikes a rock and water flows out. God provided that. Fourthly, in Exodus 16, they worried, how will we find food? What a bunch of yentas. How will we find food? So what does God do? He provides quail and manna. Now, quail, you know, I've told my congregation, and they know that word manna means, what is it? We don't know what it was. In my opinion, this is the first drive-thru. This is the first Meals on Wheels. Get the door. It's Domino's. God's providing a meal for them. Fifth, in Exodus 20, they worried, how will we govern an undisciplined nation of millions? And then God provides the rule of law, the Ten Commandments. You see, believer, your life is hidden in the same caring, loving hands of a mighty God, the same God. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Worry exposes our insecurities, and it betrays a lack of faith and trust in God. Worrying denies God's intervention in your life because we take on our problems all by ourselves. Are you doing that? See, this is why I say worry is foolish. Would you repeat those words with me? Worry is foolish. Worry is foolish. But then again, worry is futile. It's useless. Turning your Bibles to the book of Luke, Luke chapter 12, Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 26, Luke chapter 12, verses 22 to 26. Okay, here's Luke 12, verse 22. And he said to his disciples, Jesus is speaking, therefore I say to you, take no thought for your life, which means don't worry. Take no thought for your life what you shall eat, neither for the body what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, it's more than your food. And the body is more than raiment, it's more than what you're wearing. Verse 24, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. And God feeds them. How much more are you better than the fowls? 25, and which of you with taking thought can add to his stature one cubit? A cubit is a measure of 18 inches. Who can even add an inch besides putting on those special shoes? 26, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Why are you worrying? That's a question God's asking you. Why are you worrying? Most worries are reruns. Health issues that you're worried about, maybe you were worried about these health issues 6 months ago as well. You still here? Financial issues. There's nothing new. I had a friend who, every time he ran into financial issues in his business, and by the way, if you want a source of concern and worry, you just own your own business, trying to make payroll, or you run somebody else's business, trying to make payroll, trying to do things during the hard times like this, and watching your income dwindle, and starting to worry about who you have to lay off, or how you're going to pay these big bills that are hanging over your head, how you're going to pay for the store, or whatever else. You may have financial issues, but you've had financial issues before. Employment. Maybe you've lost your job. Relationships. Maybe you worry. Maybe you worry about your health, etc. Worrying doesn't help anything. In fact, it hurts everything. There was a wonderful Dutch lady, an author, who was a World War II prison camp survivor named Corrie ten Boom. Corrie ten Boom said this, worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength. You see, the more energy you put into worrying, the less energy and strength you have to deal with the particular issue that you're concerned about. It will rob your creativity to deal with that issue. Worry and anxiety and stress in the extreme will stop you from thinking. It'll just shut you down. A man said, don't tell me it doesn't do any good to worry. I know better. The things I worry about don't happen. You know there's something true behind that? Because 95% of what we worry about statistically doesn't happen. Did you hear that? Statistically, 95% of what you worry about doesn't happen. And the 5% are not going to be helped by worrying. Worry creates mental strangulation, which makes things worse. What do you worry about? What makes you anxious? And I want to tell you that for the most part, God speaks to those concerns. Let me give you 6 cases like that, okay? 6 causes of loneliness. You may be experiencing one of these right now. Loneliness. In fact, Sherry just gave me a statistic before we started. She just threw this out not knowing that I was going to use it. She said that pet adoptions are up 60% because people are lonely. Deuteronomy 31:6. Speaking of loneliness, here's what Deuteronomy 31:6 says. Deuteronomy 31:6 says, be strong and of good courage. Do not fear or be afraid. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you or forsake you. He's with you, and he will open up doors of opportunity for you to have his comfort and the comfort of others. Number 2. Isaiah 51:12-13 speak about fear. You may be fearful this morning. Isaiah 51:12-13. The Bible says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Nothing that's going to come your way is going to destroy you. Trust the Lord. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? God is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? That was Psalm 27:1. Let me read that one again. Psalm 27:1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom or what shall I fear? God is the strength of my life. Of whom or what shall I be afraid? Some people are worried about the past catching up to them. 1 John 3:20, which we're going to study this week. For if your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart and knows all things. So if you're living with guilt and you're living with that kind of stuff, God knows. You ask God to forgive you. He will. Your past should not haunt you. Number 4, troubles. 2 Corinthians 4:8-9. We are hard-pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, we're troubled, but not in despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed. We're tougher with God's help than we think we are. 2 Corinthians 4, 8, and 9 just told us that there's a lot more left to you under this circumstance than you think. You have a lot more with God's help of whatever it takes to get through this troublesome time. Trust Him. Romans 8, 31, the last half of the verse of Romans 8, 31. Listen to this one. Goes right along with that other one. If God be for us, who or what can be against us? Again, you're not alone in this. Number 5, health issues. Jeremiah 33, verse 6. Jeremiah 33, 6. Behold, I will bring health and healing. I will heal them. As I said in my prayer, God uses a wide array of things, technology and doctors and medications. A lot of things are psychosomatic, you know. A lot of things we're suffering because what our mind has done. You know, I know people who suffer with all kinds of emotional stress, which to a great extent they brought upon themselves. And we can feel it in our body. A lot of stuff is the stuff that we create and invent. Number 6, finances. Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. So, if it's loneliness or fear or the past or current troubles or health issues or finances, my question to you about those verses is, are these just words? Are they more than words? Are these the promises of God to his children? I believe these are more than empty words. I believe these are promises that you can trust. Here's a verse. 1 Kings 8:56. 1 Kings 8:56. Now listen. Blessed be the Lord that has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises which he promised. The Bible says of God, God says, I'm not a man that I can lie. So this is why I say that worry is futile. And would you repeat with me? Worry is futile. That means it's useless. And finally, worry is forbidden. Forbidden. The Bible uses care and careful to express the words worry and anxious. Listen to what it says here in Matthew 13, verse 22. It warns us, don't let the cares of this life choke you. In Philippians 4:16, it instructs us not to be worried or to be anxious about anything. And in John 14:1, it instructs us again, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Why is God so down on worry? Because worry is faith in the negative. In other words, you're just dreaming of a disaster. You're just imagining. You're anticipating. You're trusting in things that are unpleasant, in assurance of disaster, and belief in defeat. And as a believer in Jesus Christ and his word, you just have to say, I ain't going there. I ain't going there. I'm not going to put my faith, I'm not going to invest my energy, I'm not going to keep my mind focused on the things that are negative, unpleasant, and assuring me of disaster and defeat. Worry is the sand of life in your gears. Faith is the oil of life in your mental gears. Worry denies God the opportunity to be God in your life. 1 Peter 5:7 says this, and one of my favorite verses, and it's come in my face many, many times. Casting all your cares upon him, he cares for you. In effect, Christ is your lifeboat in a sea of distress. But will you get on board? The great ship Titanic didn't have enough lifeboats on board to save everybody. In God's worry operation rescue, there's room for everybody. Worry is forbidden because worry, anxiety, and fear demonstrate two very human weaknesses in the believer. Two very human weaknesses in all of us. Number one, a lack of trust in God? Answer the following questions. How trustworthy is God? Do you really put your trust in His promises? Do your answers go from your head to your heart? Fear and anxiety comes when we recognize I am no longer in control. Faith comes when we recognize God is in control. Fear and anxiety come when we recognize I'm no longer in control. I can't control the situation. But faith comes when we recognize who is, that God's in control. Number two, unbelief. You believe in God, but do you believe God? I'm going to do that one again. Number two is unbelief. And my question is, do you believe in God? But do you believe God and what He says? Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, 22. He says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Do you believe that? Raise your hand if you do. I want to count.
I see those hands.
Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are the called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? Do you believe that all these things will work out because God cares for you? So what can you do to begin the process of overcoming anxiety and stress in your life? Here are three things you can do. Number one, choose to believe. Number one, choose to believe. Hebrews 11:1 says this, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Listen, I'll paraphrase that. Your faith in Jesus Christ has substance and evidence. You know, people say we have a blind faith. That first step of faith can be considered a blind faith. But there are so much evidence for the truth of this book, the Bible. So much evidence for the truth that Jesus died on the cross. So much evidence, let me back up, so much evidence that He lived. So much evidence that He died on the cross, was buried in the ground, and rose again. There's more evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ than just about any other doctrine of Jesus. There's evidence for creation. So there is evidence for our faith. It's substantive. We can feel it. You can look back in your experience. You can always see, you can't always see God's hand working in the trials of your life at that particular moment. But past experience proves this, that while you were worrying, God was working. Just go back a moment. Think about the last time you were so stressed out and anxious about something. You didn't think God was there in that moment. But now, looking back, you can see exactly how God was in the details, not just in the big picture. So don't panic. You pray and pray and pray. Put your doubts to bed and get out and exercise your faith. This is a matter of choice. Choose to believe. So, number two, choose life and freedom in Christ over the prison Satan and self will construct from the building blocks you've made out of your worry, anxiety, and fear. Take a deep breath. Get out of the house. Take a walk. If you studied the Gospels, you'll realize whenever Jesus was up against it, He went to the mountains, He went to the lake, He went to the woods, He got out. So get out, take a walk, take a deep breath, laugh a lot. You know, the Bible says that a happy heart is therapeutic. There's therapy in laughter. Oh, and by the way, there's therapy in tears. If you're despondent about something, cry your eyes out. Don't hold back. Don't lock it up inside of you. These are the things that God gives you that will free you. Choose the freedom that you have in Jesus Christ. and the gifts that he's given you. Go into his book, the Bible. See the promises there. I've given you so many promise scripture this morning. I know when I do this at church, these are up on the PowerPoint, and many, many times they're in the sermon notes. And if you have a computer and you're able to look on your email, if you've given us your email, you can see these notes. And third, let the Holy Spirit continue the process of reclaiming, transforming, reshaping your attitude and thought life. Let the Holy Spirit continue the process. This is a process. Getting to these places does not happen overnight. Sometimes you've got to fall flat on your face even to get to step number one. But let the Holy Spirit, let the spiritual growth that's beginning in your life, let your confidence in God's Word and His promises, this is a process, and let it begin to affect you. Worry, anxiety, fear begin in your head. Negative thinking begins in your head. The Holy Spirit uses God's Word, God's promises, to displace the negatives with His promises. Displace your negative with His promises, and God's truth will set you free from the bondage of worry. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. It says, be careful for nothing, which means don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Supplication is prayer, but it's a humble, earnest, fervent prayer. And thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This is why I believe that worry is foolish, futile, and forbidden. And would you repeat that with me this morning? Worry is foolish, futile, and forbidden. We thank you, Father, for your precious promises in this book. We know they never fail because Jesus never fails. We know, Lord, that you love us so much, you only want the best for us. Go with us, go before us, be beside us, stand behind us and watch over us. In Jesus' name, I pray it, believing. Amen and amen. God bless you. Talk to you Wednesday night, 1 John chapter 3.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.